G'day trendsetters, welcome to episode 752 of the Trends Move podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website, trendsmove.com. Now, it's been a while since my last episode, and you know, you're going to hear it from all these different podcasts saying, if you want to help support the show, click on this link, support, you know, sign up for this email, do, you know, tell a friend, give us a 5-star rating. I don't ask for any of that because I don't really care that much about all that sort of stuff. What I do care about is your questions, and that's really is what helps supports the show, because it just gives me something to talk about. So come up with a good training, racing, nutrition question. Just type in, make it as general or super specific as possible. Tim@trainsmove.com is my email. You just punch that away and you know you get instant gratification knowing you're helping support the show. Now, a lot has been going on over the last few weeks since the last episode. You could bloody write a book with what's been going on over the last couple of months. But I'll talk about the book thing another time, because that's another story. But I just finished a 3-week training camp, and going into it's been earmarked for a little while that I had these 3 weeks off from work. I was just going to live the Spartan life. A week of it, my wife was going to be in Queensland, so it was just going to be me and the kids knocking around at home. My daughter's, well, she doesn't hang around me too often, so she's off, so it was just going to be more the boys, just doing the crap I want to be doing more than anything. And it was I went into this, even though it was marked for over a year, marked out that I was going to take these weeks off, I went into this needing this training camp. I had a horrible 4 weeks leading into it when it comes to training in general. Yeah, you know, like 4 weeks out, I had a 2-week period where I had my pyrophema issue, and so I lost, you know, the best part of a week of running and cycling, for instance, and then I'd start building back up, and then, oh, trendsetters, have I got a story? Gosh. During this time where I'm, you know, knocking around with my pyrophemo and sciatic nerve, with the issues going down to my calf, during all this time, I started getting a saddle sore, and it's been years since I've had something like this happen. And last time, I just told my wife, and at the time, my wife was into oils of all things, and she goes, "I'll make you something up," and she made all, you know, put this oil in here and 3 drops of that and did this and made a concoction up, and she put this on a couple times a day and it'll be fixed, and it fixed it up straight away. And it's one of those things that you if you're not doing it, you probably should. 2-3 times a year, maybe more if you're doing all your cycling indoors, just grab your cycling shorts, stick it in, let them soak in a bucket of disinfectant for overnight, just to, you know, because they become manky, especially if you're doing all your cycling indoors. But I started getting this saddle sore, and so the wife, no longer into oils, she said, I'll get you something. So gets me this spray of sorts. She says, spray this on. And so, you know, a couple times a day, so I do it. And I'm doing it 3 times or so a day, just spraying it on, thinking this is going to fix it. And it's just starting to get gradually worse. I'm spraying it on, and it's just, you know, now we're 2 weeks out from this training camp, and it's getting at its, you know, it's really starting, you know, you spray it on, it's stinging. So obviously the skin's all broken and stuff. So she goes, yeah, you're probably going to need some cream on there as well. So she gets me this cream, and I think, you're right, no worries, we'll try this. And it's just becoming quite sore and discomfort. Anyway, I wake up for this. I had this 100-kilometer bike ride I had to do. So I wake up and I'm getting going on this bike ride, and I'm going for, you know, not 1 kilometer into this bike ride, and it's very, very, very uncomfortable. The discomfort level's quite high. Not painful, but discomfort level's high. And all I wanted to do was just turn around and go home and just call it a day. It was just... And I could not hop in, for the love of me, I couldn't hop into the aero, in the aero position on my bike. I'm on a time trial bike, obviously. I can't hop in the aero position because it's quite... discomfort turns into pain. And I'm thinking, oh, right, I'll just eat this. So I'm going for this ride, and I get very uncomfortable. And about 20 or so k's into it, I stand up to ride up this hill on my pedals, a bit of a sleep part, and I felt my shorts peel from my skin, and it stung bad. Oh, anyway, about 40 k's into it, this discomfort's turned into pain now. Again, I can't get in the aero position, so I'm doing this entire ride sitting up. And so I think, and it's cold outside. It's bloody cold. And so I thought, I can't handle this discomfort anymore. So I take my beanie off my head, if that's underneath my helmet. I stick that down underneath, in my pants, in my cycling shorts, to hopefully give me some sort of cushion, as I'm riding along. And I put it in, and it stung bad. Like putting it in, and I'm on this country road, no one around, and I'm just standing there for a minute just to give myself, a time to adjust. And this woman drives past, stops, reverses up to see if I was okay. I was thinking to myself, oh, I must have had a face expression that matched the feeling of what's going on down under. And so, I said, oh, I'm all good. And I'm halfway through this bloody bike ride, and I've just, 107 k's to be exact, ride I had to do, and I'm like, 40, 50 k's into this thing at the moment. And so I'm riding along, that the beanie down under is helping slightly, and I'm getting through as much as I can, this ride as I can, and trying to, think of other things so my mind's elsewhere and my body's just pedaling, and it's going from bad to worse and worse and worse, and it's now painful. And so it's probably the last 10-15 k's of this bike ride that I can't sit down anymore. I've got to stand up and so I do this, the last 10-15 k's of this ride, I do it 100% standing up just to get home. I get home, I jump in, go into the bathroom, I take my gear off, my cycling shorts and stuff off, and my cycling shorts and the beanie that was there is just filled full of blood, and it's not a nice sight too. The skin's just completely ripped off now. It was raw. Anyway, you'd think that would be the worst of it. For the next 3 days or so, I can't do anything. I can't stand up, I can't sit down, I can't walk, definitely can't run, definitely can't cycle. I'm just, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm at work, I can't sit down, I'm trying to stand up, and I'm trying to no sell it, but my boss just thought it was, I'm having a bad day with my hernia. Just where my office is, I got my computer, my computer's there, and I have to, do a bit of a turn on my chair to grab the phone, and then all of a sudden I get asked, can you take the switchboard for the next couple of hours? Every slight movement just saw me, I just wanted to put my head through the roof. It was so painful, couldn't do anything. And so after about 2-3 days of this, I actually go down to the first aid room at work, and we've got these big boxes of expired first aid equipment that we use for training and stuff like that. And so I'm going through there, and I'm grabbing all these first aid dressings, and I'm padding them in, and it was horrible. And so so there was about 5 days where I really couldn't. I could swim okay, that was no issues there, but I couldn't cycle, I couldn't run. And then I've worked out if I, put two paddings on, two of these dressings, in first aid dressings on it, I can now run. And right, okay, you know, four dressings, I can now kind of cycle. And so I go into the first week of this training camp so half depressed, thinking, what am I going to do? This is going to be a complete waste. I can't do anything. But I get through the first week okay. Once I started using these expired first aid dressings, I was off, I was happy. So the first training week, so it was a 3 week training camp. The first week, I did 27 and a half hours of swim, bike, run, and strength training. Week two, because I'm not used to that volume, I brought it down to 22 and a half hours, something like that. It was of, you know, again, swim, bike, run, strength training. And then week three, last week, I brought it back up to 28 hours. And just by the end of it, I just felt I'm absorbing the training load that was coming in, never tired. And, you know, it sounds impressive, me sitting back saying, oh, I did 27, you know, 28, 22, 23, back to 28. You know, it sounds impressive, and it's a fair little bit of work. But the most impressive thing was the sleep. Not working. I was getting an extra 10 hours worth of sleep a week, which, you know, adds up to 10 hours a week, believe it or not. And, you know, that was huge. And I had my days planned. All right, I'm going to do this, and any, you know, I had my nutrition planned around everything. So any session, for instance, any session at all that I knew I was going to burn 800 calories or more, I had a recovery shake, you know, mixed up, ready to go before the session even started. So I just, you know, I'd go for, you know, a 4K swim session, for instance. I know I'm going to burn over 800 calories in that. So as soon as I got out, it was, you know, had my little cooler bag there with my recovery shake, and I'd smash that. And it was planned perfect. And went into it absolutely needing that training camp. And I've come out of it feeling like $1 million. It was just a whole lot of momentum started rolling forward for me. It was just bloody fantastic, and I'm super pumped. And I'm at the stage where today was my first bike ride where I didn't need any first aid dressings on the land down under. It was it's good. So, and I can, and for the last week and a half, I've been able to actually hop in the aero position on the bike. So that was nice. But the first week and a half of that training camp, I still couldn't do that. But yeah, you're probably thinking I've probably overshared a little, but you know, it's all good. Today's question, which is probably what you wanted to rather listen to than listen to stories about my crutch, comes from Joey, who writes, can you talk about race intensity and how we can work out what would be best for a full and a half Ironman race? So, it's a good question, and obviously the answer is going to be depends. It's always going to be that, but I'll run through a few different things. So in a very, very, very rough ballpark number, for instance, we're talking, you know, rough ballpark figure, you're looking at about 75% of FTP for Ironman, and anywhere between 80 to 85% of FTP for a 70.3 for the bike. If we're talking run power, and I'll translate, I'll have to come up with the numbers for heart rate in a second. You'd be looking at about 85% of critical power for the run for the Ironman, and 90% for 70.3. If we're talking about power, heart rate. Geez, I'm trying to think of what those numbers would be. My mind's got a bit of a blank here. So that's just rough a starting point, I should say. That's a starting point with what you know is that, and the numbers are going to greatly change. So, for instance, we're talking about, you know, 80, let's call it 85% for a half Ironman for FTP. If you're a weak runner, that might have to go down to 80% or even 75%. If you're, especially if, or if you're a strong runner, but you've got a history of getting off the bike and can't run well at all, you might have to back that off a little bit. And it also depends on how accurate your testing has been and how, so for instance, if you go do yourself an FTP test, or whatever, however you're doing your test, a normal 20-minute FTP or a ramp test or whatever you do, if you go into the next couple of weeks and let's call it you do an FTP test, it's a 20-minute and you do the traditional 95% of that 20-minute all-out power and call that your FTP. And then the very next week, if you can't hold 95% of that 95%, I'm worried that I'm going to confuse everyone. So let's take that FTP result. The very next week, if you do a sweet spot session, as they call it, let's call it a 2x20 minutes or a 3x12 minutes or something like that, at 95% of your FTP, if you can't hold that very comfortably without any change in your normal training week, that FTP is most likely too high and not right. So for most people, their FTP, even though everyone loves calling it their 95% because the number looks better, and for some people it is, but I would say most people it's not. It would lie anywhere between that 95 and 90%. A lot would be at 90% and then some would be at that 92%. So you're going to have a play around. Unless you've got a lactate meter or you're going to go into a lab and get it properly tested, you're going to have to play around with those numbers to see what works best for you. Now, so you've got this number, for instance, this ballpark number, 75% of FTP for an Ironman, 85% for 70.3. So you go out for your long rides, you might start throwing some race intensity at it, at these long rides. So you might go 20 minutes on, 5 minutes off, or 20 minutes on, 3 minutes off, or just go 30 minutes at race intensity, or 40 minutes. You eventually want to get to several 40-minute race intensity intervals to make sure that A, you can do it comfortably, B, you got good power control on the terrain, out in the real world, ideally. And if you, on a side note for that, if you're doing your training indoors on Zwift or so, and you've got your smart trainer power meter, and you've got a power meter on your bike, use the one on your bike over the one on the smart trainer, because that's the one you're going to be relying on race day. And it shouldn't be, but there's huge difference in power meter to power meter to power meter to power meter. Like, it can be up to 20 watt difference between power meters. I had an SRM power meter and I had a 4i power meter, and there was 20 watts difference. I had them on the same bloody crank. I put this 4i crank on this SRM, and I had both of them running at the same time, and there was 20 watts difference. It was like crazy crap. So I forget where I was going with this, but so you want to be holding those for long periods of times, and then through the week, as you're heading towards your race, you can do sessions. You know, they call it over unders, but you want to do, say, doing 20-minute intervals, for instance. We'll call it 10-minute intervals. So where 2 minutes is going to be at 95% of FTP, 2 minutes at race intensity. So you're recovering at race intensity. So we're going back to that 85% of FTP is your 70.3 power. So you go 2 minutes at 95%, 2 minutes at that 70.3 power, 2 minutes at 95% of FTP, 2 minutes at race intensity. So you're recovering there, and if that's becoming too hard, you start questioning, well, let's back it down to 80, and you've just got to, and doing long time trials occasionally also going to help, but it's a lot easier, that sort of intensity in a race, when you've got, you know, you've tapered for it, you're feeling good, all your glycogen levels are up, and you got the atmosphere of the race is something that's been marked down from, 2 months to 1 month to now to 4 weeks to 3 weeks to 2 weeks. Oh, it's bloody race week now. This is good. I'm going to clean up the bike. I'm going to, just dial everything in. Oh, the race, there's the finishing line. There's some banners there. And, oh, it gets everything all cranked up, ready to go. But and then you've got brick sessions that will obviously give you ballpark figures on how you're going. But in general, you want to long tempo runs will help dictate what sort of 70.3 effort you're able to hold, and for Ironman, it's like most likely going to be high zone two, run off the bike, in that ballpark figure. But it definitely will, unless you got tools like a lactate tester that you can get that honed in to a much smaller room of to play with. It's a lot less trial and error if you have a lactate tester. A lot more room for testing if without one. Really. But as long as you're collecting the information in your training log, and don't use Zwift as a training log. That's social media. Use a proper training log. As long as you've got something like that and you're collecting it, you can start going back through and you're leaving notes in your training sessions. So when you go back to look, you go, oh, why was that high? And, I kind of sucked then. Oh, that's right. I had this, that on, but it's the greatest investment you'll ever have in sports is that training log of yours. You got to treat it with a lot of respect. Anyway, I think I've gibbered enough. If you guys have any training, racing, nutrition questions, send them on through to tim@trainsmooth.com. Until next episode, hooroo.